We've been talking about faith for a while, and we're going to continue to talk about faith and hearing a sermon, a series of sermons. We heard a series entitled Faith According to James, where we learned something about faith. And this morning I want to remind you of how important faith is, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, it tells us, for we walk by faith and not by sight. As believers, we are walking by faith and not by sight. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, Hebrews chapter 11 is the what we call the faith chapter, where we see a lot of those that live by faith listed there. And in verse 6 it tells us, but without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's a lot in that verse. There's a whole sermon in that verse that says that he that cometh to God must believe that God is. We've got to believe he exists. And we also believe that he rewards those of us who are diligent about seeking him and his will for our lives and following that. And so faith is so, so important. We learned in that series on James that faith has three aspects: belief, trust, and commitment. It's more than believing facts. Again, I remind you that James said in James chapter 2 and verse 19 that the devils also believe and tremble. In Mark chapter 5, in the first 20 verses, you can read about some demons that believed God. They didn't trust him for salvation. They didn't commit their lives to him, but they knew who he was, and they believed that much about him. The stories about a man who was possessed with many demons. As a matter of fact, when Jesus asked his name, he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Remember, they couldn't keep him dressed. He was wild. He lived in the graveyard, and he tore his clothes off. They'd chain him, and he'd tear the chains off, and nobody could contain him in any way. And when Jesus approached him, even the demons that were possessing him asked and permission to go into a herd of swine that were grazing there on the hillside. That's a bunch of hogs, and for those of you who don't know what swine is. And Jesus allowed that, and they went into that herd of swine, those hogs, and the hogs would not be demon-possessed. So they ran off a steep cliff into the sea and drowned themselves, about 2,000 of them. So there was a lot of demons in that man, and they believed that Jesus and who Jesus was. But there's more than belief. You know, a lot of people believe facts, but they don't trust him, and they don't commit their lives to him. In Hebrews chapter 11, faith chapter again defines faith as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Another version says it like this: now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So if we're sure of something, then we can trust it. And if we trust it and are certain of it, then we'll commit to it. So genuine saving faith not only believes, it also trusts, and it commits to Jesus Christ. As we've begun the series entitled examples of those who live by faith. I've been talking about a man named Elijah, and I want to go back over that and kind of remind you of some of the things that have happened that God was speaking through Elijah. Elijah was a man that was trusting God. He was committed to God, and he was being obedient to what God had told him to do. We need to learn from people like Elijah and be obedient when God speaks. We need to believe. We need to trust him and believe even those things that don't seem to be possible, because nothing's impossible with God. Okay? So sometimes God leads us to do things, and when we look at the circumstances, we say, oh, I don't know, we don't have the resources for that. You know, we don't have the people for that. We don't have the finance for that. But if God says do it, then we need to move forward. Elijah was pretty bold when God spoke to him, told him to confront Ahab. And he confronted Ahab, and he said, it's not going to rain until I say so. Now, that's a pretty bold statement, don't you think? How many of you would come up to a king and say, hey, sorry, I know you like rain. It ain't going to rain till I decide it's going to rain. And when I say it's going to rain, it'll rain. But Elijah believed God, and he trusted God enough that when God instructed him to do that, he did just that. He went to Ahab. He told Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say so. And so then we know that God told Elijah then to go down to the brook Cherith, where he could drink from the brook, and God would send the vultures to feed him. God did that. Elijah was obedient. He went to the brook. And when the water dried up in the brook, God told him to get up and go see the widow woman, remember, at Zarephath. And when he went to the widow woman, that she would feed him. When he got there, remember, she was preparing to make the last meal for her and her son. They were going to eat the last little bit of meal that they had, and then they were going to starve to death. And Elijah said, well, go ahead and fix me something first. And if you'll fix me something first, God will never let the meal run out. He'll not let the oil run out. Again, a bold statement, but when God tells you to do something, it don't matter how ridiculous it sounds, God will do it. And so this woman had faith enough to believe, and so she fixed Elijah something, and then the meal and oil never ran out. When her son died, she was upset, and naturally so. I don't know of any of us that wouldn't be. That's got to be the hardest thing to go through, outliving a child or a grandchild. And so when this lady's son died, she called Elijah, and Elijah took the son, went up into the loft where he was staying, and prayed and asked God to restore life to this widow woman's son. And God answered that prayer. And he didn't just ask him to restore the boy, just to be restored him. He asked God to restore his life so that she would know for a fact that he was God's prophet. And so God answered the prayer, and he gave life back to this widow woman's son. And so then we see that Ahab, or after 3 years has passed, Elijah told Ahab it wouldn't rain, God sent Elijah to go find Ahab. Now, it was dry, there were a drought because it's not rained in 3 years, and so Ahab had called Obadiah, his right-hand man, his governor, and told Obadiah, you go one way and I'm going to go the other way. We got to go find some water and some grass, or we're going to lose all our horses and all our livestock. And so they had separated and gone out to find water and grass. And Obadiah meets up with Elijah. And Elijah said, go tell Ahab that I need to see him. Obadiah had faith in God. He had enough faith in God that in time past, when Jezebel, Ahab's wife, had tried to kill all of God's prophets, Obadiah had secretly hid 100 of God's prophets, 50 in one cave and 50 in another cave, and he had fed them and with bread and given them water to drink to spare them, to save them from being killed, because Jezebel was trying to kill all of God's prophets. Jezebel was a very ungodly woman. And so Obadiah had really stepped out on faith, and he protected those and fed those 100 prophets of God. And so when Elijah said to Obadiah, I need you to go tell Ahab that I'm here. And Obadiah said, wait a minute. We've looked all over the place for you. Ahab has sent people all over now, every country looking for you, and no one's been able to find you. And when I go tell Ahab that you want to see him, and then God's going to send you somewhere else, and when I bring Ahab back, you're not going to be here, and he's going to take my life. And Elijah said, no, I'll be here. You go tell Ahab. And so he did, and brought Ahab back to him. And you know the story we talked last week about how Elijah told Ahab to gather his 450 prophets of Baal, to tell them to get two bullocks we're going to offer for sacrifice. And your men, your 450 prophets of Baal, they're going to prepare one of those bullocks and get it ready for sacrifice. And then they're going to call out to their God. And you can't put any fire there. So you got to call out to your God, and the God that answers by fire, then he's the God that we're going to serve. And so the prophets of Baal got the two bullocks, and they prepared one of them and put it on their altar, and they began to pray and call out to their gods and ask them to send fire. Well, we know what happened. No fire fell. Okay. Elijah had a little fun with that, and he kept poking them a little bit, you know. He'd say, you need to call a little bit louder. Maybe he's hard of hearing, you know. He may be on vacation, or he may be asleep. You might have to wake him up. And he kept poking at him and saying, holler louder, holler louder. Well, they've called on their God all day, and nothing has happened. And so in the evening, Elijah prepared the other bullock, put it all on the altar. He repaired the altar. He took 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And he fixed the altar, put the wood on the altar, the sacrifice on the altar, dug a trench around the sacrifice. And he had them to go and fill 4 barrels of water and pour that on the sacrifice, on the wood and on all the altar. And they got the 4. He said, go get 4 more. They went and got 4 more, poured it on. He went and got 4 more, and they poured it on. 12 barrels of water now that have been poured on the sacrifice and on the altar. All the wood saturated. As a matter of fact, the trench that they had dug around the sacrifice is filled with water now. And Elijah begins to pray and call on God to send fire. And God sent fire down from heaven. We serve a God that answers. And Elijah believed in that God. He trusted that God. And he was committed to that God. that we need to also believe and trust and commit to. And God sent fire down. And not only did it consume the sacrifice, it consumed the stones, the wood, the sacrifice, and the dust, and even licked up the water that was in the ditch. How many of you have ever burnt water? I don't mean you just scorched it. I'm talking about you burn it up and just disappeared, you know. Well, God sent fire down and licked every bit of it up. Okay. And so he revealed himself. He proved himself. Well, then you remember Elijah had all the 450 prophets of Baal then brought. And they went to the brook Kishon, and they were all slain there at the brook Kishon. Okay. And so now, it's time for rain. In the beginning in the 41st verse of chapter 18 in 1 Kings, then we find that Elijah said to Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Now, remember, Elijah had told Ahab 3.5 years earlier, "It's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain." And so now, Elijah tells Ahab, you need to get ready because it's fixing to rain. And so, you know, why did he say that? It's cloudy, right? Clouds in the sky? No, there weren't any clouds in the sky. He told that because God told him to tell Ahab that. Elijah was listening to God. God was speaking to Elijah, and Elijah was following God's instructions. He was obeying Him. He was trusting Him, and he had committed himself to Him. He knows that God's not going to lie to him, and so he tells Ahab to get ready because it's fixing to rain. And then Elijah goes up to the top of Carmel, and he begins to pray. He begins to talk to God. Calls out to God and seeking God's direction and will here. It says he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And then he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked, and he said, "There's nothing. No clouds, not a cloud in the sky." And he said, "Go again." And the servant went again. And he said, "Go again." And the servant went again. And he went seven times. Does anybody know what seven represents in the Bible? It's a number for perfection, right? Seven times he sent them to go look for a cloud. And the seventh time, the servant came back and said, "There's just a little bitty cloud. It's about the size of a man's hand out over the sea." And Elijah said, "Get ready. The rain is coming." Because Elijah had faith in God. He had demonstrated that faith many times. He believed. And so he said when they gave him that word that there's a little bitty cloud just the size of a man's hand, and he said, "Go up and tell Ahab, prepare your chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not." It's fixing to rain. It's fixing to come a flood. Be prepared. You know, we're in the business of warning people, trying to get people ready. Not necessarily for a flood right now, because it's not going to, God has promised us, every time we see a rainbow, what does that represent? God's promise. His promise that He would never, ever destroy the earth with water again. He's not going to destroy the earth with a flood of water again. That's His promise. That's why we see the rainbows. Because He's not going to do it. But we're in the business of trying to warn people, or we need to be in the business at least, of trying to warn people about something that's coming. It's not a flood. His name is Jesus. And He's coming. And He's coming soon. And we need to be prepared to meet Him. For when He comes, it's going to be too late. If you're not prepared when Jesus comes, then it's going to be too late. There's no time to get prepared when He comes. There's no time to get prepared when you're not prepared and you suffer a heart attack or a massive stroke or something that takes you out just without notice. There's no preparation. No time after you breathe your last breath, your heart beats the last beat. There's no time to get ready. So we need to be prepared before time, right? And so that's what we need to be doing is getting that message out, warning people. Elijah was telling Ahab here, get ready because the rain's coming. And we need to be telling people, get ready because Jesus is coming. And when Jesus comes to get His church, you need to be ready. And you may leave this earth before Jesus comes to get His church, because we never know when death's going to come. The Bible tells us that we're all going to make that trip. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, a judgment. We don't know when that's going to be. And so we need to be telling people to get ready. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Surrender to Him and His Lordship. Begin to live for Him. Begin to enjoy the blessings of life. It's not just about being prepared to leave this world. It's a lot about being prepared to enjoy the benefits and the blessings God has in store for you while you're in this world. Because God has so many blessings, so many benefits that He wants to pour out on us. If we'll just believe Him, if we'll just trust Him, if we'll commit our lives to Him. There's so much that He wants to do for us. And so, here, Ahab says, it's time. It's time to be ready. And so he tells Ahab to go get ready, because it's about to rain. And so, and it came to pass in the meanwhile, verse 45 says, that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So here, 3.5 years after Elijah told Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. And it rains. When Elijah told Ahab it's going to rain again, and it wasn't just because Elijah was deciding all those things, it's because God was speaking to Elijah all these things and telling him these things that are going to happen. And so we need to be sensitive to God's leadership. We need to be sensitive. We need to be in tune with God. And Elijah was. How do we do that? We spend time with Him. We spend time in prayer with Him. We spend time in His Word, studying and learning more about God's Word, His Bible. That's how we learn how to live, what we're supposed to be doing, what we're not supposed to be doing, is by studying God's Word. And that way we're not misled by those that that are trying to mislead us and tell us things that are not true. And so many out there today are teaching a false gospel, and they're misleading a lot of people, and people don't realize what's going on because they don't know what the Bible says, because they've not spent time in the Bible themselves. And so they don't know. When somebody's telling them the Bible says something that it don't say, then they don't know the difference. There's a lot of that right now going on. There's a lot of people that are being misled and told that, you know, we got to accept these things because, you know, God's a God of love, and so we're supposed to love everybody, and so it's okay for one man to love another man, and that's not what the Bible says. Yes, we do. We love people. We love everyone. But we don't love the sin. And so we need to be careful. Know what the Bible says so that you know whether or not you're being obedient to God's Word. And so we see a man named Elijah who was a man of faith. Now, can a man of faith ever make a mistake? Yes, we need to understand that sometimes a person of faith can get weak and falter. And Elijah did that. Elijah, and it's always amazed me how committed he was and how much in tune with God he was. And the next few verses really kind of like, hey, what's going on? How did Elijah possibly fall for that? So, but in the next, beginning in chapter 19, in the first verses there, Ahab, the old wicked king, remember he was the most wicked king that Israel had had? And so, and he had married Jezebel. We know a lot about Jezebel. That's not, you know, not a positive thing. And so Ahab goes and tells Jezebel everything that Elijah's done and how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. That's the 450 prophets of Baal that were just slain at the brook Kishon. And so Ahab goes and tells Jezebel about that. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Jezebel threatened Elijah. Now, we would think that, you know, we got a man of faith here that's really demonstrated faith, and he'd just say, well, I'm not worried about what Jezebel says because Jezebel can't touch me unless God allows it. And is not that the truth? That is absolutely the truth. Jezebel can do nothing to Elijah unless God allows it. But rather than that, and I don't know, you know, we don't know why Elijah's state of mind was just like it was right then, but when he was threatened by Jezebel, it says, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Now, he didn't, you know, he didn't just go off the deep end yet. He did go off and ask God to just go ahead and let him die, you know. But he allowed Satan to distract him and to hinder him from doing what God's called him to do. That happens so many times to us. No matter how faithful you are, Satan don't give up trying to discourage you. know that Satan is always, if Satan's not bothering you, then you're not bothering him. Because if you're doing God's work and you're being faithful to God and doing what God's called you to do, Satan does not like it. And Satan's going to do all he can to try to disrupt that. He's going to do all he can to try to cause you to stumble, to fall. He's going to put things in your way, and he's going to allow things to happen to try to tear you down, to try to cause you to compromise your faith in God. And here, that's exactly what Satan was doing through Jezebel, was trying to get Elijah to compromise and trying to destroy his witness. And so we see that Elijah runs off and hides, and he begins to call on God and pray and ask that God would let him, just let me die. But God didn't let him die. God, we see that he works through there, and he didn't allow Elijah to go. Elijah had done a lot of work. He had done a lot of things. He had been faithful to God, and he continues to be obedient as we get through there. And he is obedient to do the things that God tells him to do, even though he was at a low point right there and wishing that God just let him get on out of here. Sometimes we're going to be discouraged. That's not the end of the world when we get discouraged. And so don't give up. When you get discouraged, that don't mean it's the end of the world. God has not stopped loving you. God had not stopped loving Elijah. God still had work for Elijah to do. And God was still obedient to his word. And God is still obedient to his word to you. And so when you get in a difficult situation, when you get threatened, don't just throw up your hands and give up and say, God, keep on keeping on. Know that the best indicator is when the devil's really after you, you can say, well, obviously I'm doing something right. Because if I wasn't bothering him, he wouldn't be bothering me. He's not after that bunch that's down there in the Jook. He's already got them. He's not bothering them. Those that are following Jesus Christ, those are the ones that he's going to be coming after, and he's going to do everything he can to discourage you. He'll work through your family. He'll work through those who you thought were your friends. He'll work through whatever source he can to get to you and to get to your weak points. To those points, a lot of times, where you think it's your strong point, and that's where the devil's going to come. You think that's your strong point. You're not worried about that. Devil can't ever get me there. Well, you let your guard down, and that's exactly where the devil will come. And so, be careful. Live by faith. We're going to look at some more people who have lived by faith, who have trusted God, who have been obedient, who have been committed to God because of their faith. And we need to be practicing that, practicing to live by faith, to trust God. He's trustworthy. That's the thing that we need to learn, that God is trustworthy. He has never lied. He's never misrepresented the truth. He always does what he says he will do. And so we need to trust him, and we need to commit our lives to him and allow him to bless us and use us. There are ways that he wants to use us we may have no idea about. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so without faith, we're not going to be doing what He's called us to do. It takes faith. Faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. So let's practice that. Let's practice living by faith. We sing that song, living by faith in Jesus alone. But do we do it? No. We just sang a song a while ago. Take my life. Lead me, Lord. That's what He wants to do. But He's not going to take our life if we don't surrender it to Him. And so we've got to be surrendered to Him. We do that when we believe, when we trust Him, and when we commit ourselves to Him. You done that? If not, you're missing out. You're missing out on blessings now, and you're really going to miss out for eternity if you don't trust God. If you don't put your faith in Him, commit your life to Him. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for Your love. God, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, thank You for men like Elijah, who was willing to take that step of faith. Lord, to do what You called him to do. Lord, help us to see that when we do what You call us to do, that You will, in fact, bless us. That You will provide for our every need. That You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. But that You'll be with us to the end of the world. Thank You for that companionship. Thank You for the courage. Thank You for the peace. Thank You for the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, even in the difficult times, thank You that we know that You're not going to leave us, that You're going to be there with us through every trial and every temptation, even in that time when Elijah, a man of faith, when he allowed Satan to distract him, Lord, You never left him. I thank You that You don't leave us. Father, if there's one here today who's never genuinely put their faith and trust in You, they've never committed their lives to You, Lord, I pray that today would be that day that they will trust You, that they'll believe, that they'll commit their lives to You. Lord, whatever needs are here, I know that You're here to meet those needs. And You will and You want to if we'll just surrender to You. So, Lord, help us to be submissive, to surrender to Your Lordship here today. In Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Amen. Stand with me for a moment as the music plays. Where are you in your relationship with Christ? You really believe Him? Do you trust Him? Have you committed your life to Him? Do you believe that He'll do what He says He'll do? Have you spent time in His Word to know what He says He will do? Is there a need that you have? God's here to meet needs. He wants to meet your need. He's not going to take it away from you. You've got to give it to Him. Anybody, any need, if God's spoken to your heart, if there's something nudging at your heart, a decision that needs to be made, this is your opportunity right now to make that choice. Maybe the last chance. So don't wait.